All right. Well, church, as I mentioned, today we're going to have a little bit of a celebratory morning, all right? And we've called it HCCO Sunday, but the reality is it's just Jesus Sunday. Jesus being good to us through HCCO. So I had to put a name on it. I put HCCO Sunday on it so we can all understand what we're going to be talking about. But it's Jesus Sunday, basically. And this is an opportunity for all of us to see the work of his hands through us as his vessels, okay? So HCCO might not be a service that you know much about, okay? Because we've been operating for about 3 years and we mention it relatively often from the front of the stage. But in terms of the nuts and the bolts and how it all works, maybe you're a little bit unfamiliar with it. So I just want to give you a little bit of background into what we do. Okay, so Hillside have actually got a long-standing history of providing emergency food assistance. You might have heard that called food hampers, food parcels, whatever you want to call it. Long before the inception of HCCO, and I got to mention Laurie Dahl and Marika Wharton, who led food assistance out of Hillside long before the last 3 years with HCCO, and they continue to do that. So I just wanted to acknowledge them, that they played a very, very lead role in distributing food to the needy, okay, over the years. But essentially, HCCO makes sure that people in our local community that are in need do not go hungry, okay? That's the mission for HCCO. And while I'm going to spend a little bit of time this morning paying special attention to HCCO, I've got a message for you that I believe will just work in your context, okay? And I just believe that the Lord will inspire you and encourage you with what he has placed in your hand this morning. So there is a message that I believe transcends HCCO, and I want you to think about what the Lord has placed in your hand right now. What has he entrusted to you? What are the gifts and the talents that he's given you? Just to start you thinking along those lines. This morning I want you to know that the little in your hand can go so much further than you can imagine when you call upon the name of Jesus. And we'll illustrate that a number of times as we go through this morning. So, Lord, we just pray that you would bless this time, you would bless this message, you'd speak to your people, and people would leave here transformed, encouraged, and inspired in Jesus' name. So, as I mentioned, some of you may have little or no idea of how HCCO works, and how we do what we do, or why we serve in this particular way in our community. So let me provide you with that context. HCCO was founded on the 21st of October 2016. We had the Reverend Dr. Margaret Court come down to this stage and open our service up. And ever since, we've been running emergency food parcels and pastoral care services through HCCO on a Tuesday and a Thursday morning right here at Hillside. Okay, so we provide free emergency food assistance to anyone in need, whether that be a long-term need, a short-term need, whatever the need is, we will attempt to accommodate food assistance for our clients. As part of the service, we also provide confidential pastoral care to all that walk through the door. So anyone that walks through the door will receive pastoral care, and we will offer them prayer, and the vast majority of people say, yes, of course you can pray for me. And obviously we offer them an invitation as well to Sunday morning to come and join us at church. Now, you won't be hearing any of the names of our clients this morning. One of the reasons for that is some of our former clients are even in the room, because they've gone through the HCCO service and they've taken up the invitation to come to church, and now they're here with us this morning. But obviously our service is confidential. So that's one of the reasons that you're not going to hear any of the names of our clients this morning. Okay, the service is a partial response to Matthew 25, 35 to 40. And Pastor Kerry was really close to this in the tithes and offerings message. I just want to read that to you. It's Jesus speaking. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needed clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So HCCO is a partial response to Matthew 25, 35 to 40. And we want to bless those around us as we bless the Lord in the process. And over the 3 years, we have prayed for thousands of people. And we have provided tens of thousands of meals. We have seen signs and wonders on a regular basis. We've also seen a number of clients come through these doors, as I mentioned, and some of them now call Hillside their home. So I want to give you some statistics, because we always say it's amazing, it's incredible, it's growing, there's so much happening. Pastor Kerry said it's going nuts, but let's put some figures on that, okay, and some statistics for you, okay? So let's start with where the food comes from, okay? Where does all this food come from? All of our food is donated. Okay, all of our food is donated, and we currently receive deliveries from Margaret Court Community Outreach as part of our partnership with Victory Life. And we also collect food from Second Bite, which is the charity arm of Coles. We then go to Coles in Forestfield, we then go to Woolworths in Forestfield, and also Coles in Midland. Okay, and we also check in down at Food Bank WA, which is also in Forrey, additionally. Our collections have gone from once a week 3 years ago to now 5 days a week since HCCO opened in 2016. We also receive monetary and food donations from our very, very generous congregation, that's you, on a weekly basis, as well as the use of Ewan Campbell's van from Forestfield Furniture and Beds to collect all of the food that we get. So I do want to say to you, thank you very much for all that you do, okay? Because without your generosity, we just couldn't do what we do, okay? I want to tell you where this food goes, okay? And we're currently trying to improve our statistics and our ability to report on where the food is going to. So we're currently changing from a paper-based system to an online cloud system. We're becoming cutting-edge at HCCO in order for us to track where our clients are coming from, where the need is coming from. But some of our snapshot data would suggest that the local area of Forestfield, High Wycombe and Maida Vale is where the crux of our clients come from. That said, we often encounter people coming as far as Northam and Rockingham. Now, I think Northam's northeast, long way away. Rockingham's down south. My geography's rubbish in WA, but what can you do? So a long way away, people are coming to seek emergency relief. Okay, in addition to that, HCCO provides significant quantities of stock to Ascension Church in Midland for their outreach, for Collective Hope's homeless outreach, it's another church, Aboriginal Mental Health, the department come in and ask for help with their clients. We also distribute to Red Frogs on occasion, Darlington House Men's Rehabilitation, and local school chaplains are often phoning us up now saying, "I got a family in need, Craig. Can you and your team do something?" And they're always welcome to come. Whenever there's a need, we try and look after local school chaplains. And that's a difficult thing for the chaplains to get families to come here, but they're always, always grateful. So How's it distributed? As I mentioned, we're open Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10:30 to 1:30 p.m. And entry is just behind our stage in the back room there. And our team of volunteers from the congregation do all the welcoming. They do all the picking. They do all the packing. They do all the pastoral care. Before the doors even open, they share a devotion together. And they have a time of prayer where they pray a blessing over the food that they're about to distribute and also a blessing over the clients that they're about to meet. We're also now hosting a number of school children and school groups that are coming in with chaplains because they want to volunteer and they want to do their bit in the community. So our team from the congregation, again, are hosting young people from schools, getting their hands dirty, and kids are just loving being around HCCO. So much so that we've had multiple children out of those school groups during the holidays. Their parents will phone up and say, "Hey, Craig, can X, Y, and Z come down and volunteer this morning?" Because they loved coming in with their school. So we're seeing young people inspired, empowered. They can make a difference in our local community too. So that's something that HCCO is also doing this year. Now, I've mentioned that our team comes from this room, from this congregation. So if you're serving currently with HCCO, could you stand up, please, team? I know you're all shy, so shy that you all wore your green T-shirts. You guys are incredible. Stay standing for a minute. If you've served with HCCO at all over the last 3 years, can you stand up as well? And I know there's a few of you. There's Sue and Merv. You guys are part of our team. Is Vonnie here? Ewan, wherever you are. So there are people that do things beyond just serving here. We've got Sue and Merv that actually cook meals. Week on week on week, they'll cook a home-cooked meal and bring like 50 of them down every week. So there's a home-cooked meal in there. We've got Ewan that provides his van. We've got Vonnie that brings boxes from Woolworths in Midland. So we've got nice boxes that stack. And I just want to honour all of you guys because you're a great example of the body of Christ at work. Okay? As Pastor Kerry mentioned, you're not doing it because it's a requirement. You're doing it out of a response to your love for Jesus. You know, it says, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12 when he's talking about the Holy Spirit and the giftings that come through the Spirit. All of you are utilizing the unique gifts and talents that Christ has placed in you, and you're seeing it multiplied and used for his glory in incredible ways. And we're going to hear some of those stories, just a tiny, tiny fragment of those stories a little bit later. So you can sit down, team. Thank you very much for all that you do. It's such a great way of activating your calling. It's such a practical opportunity to shine the light of Jesus into our community by serving at HCCO. So as once again, I just want to say thank you to all of the team that are currently serving, all of those of you that have served in years gone by. So what does a hamper consist of? Have a look at the next one. So this is Sharon and Carol, two of our volunteers, and this is kind of a small parcel, but it needed both of them to carry it because it's pretty big and pretty heavy. Now, in these parcels, we have fresh fruit, vegetables, bread, baked goods, non-perishable items, and frozen foods, which rotate in content on a shift-to-shift basis. So we never know what's coming in, but we just do the best we can with what we have. And we're reasonably well known locally for having these enormous food parcels that really provide decent emergency food relief. So people come to us and they like coming to us. On average, and this is dependent on how big a family is, will be how we scale up a parcel. So if it's a single person or a family of four, they get different sizes of parcel. But on average, we reckon between $85 and $130 worth of food is in every single parcel. Okay, so there's a lot of good quality food being distributed out into the community. Okay, so over the last 3 years, HCCO has seen a steady increase in demand as more and more clients find out about us and our service, because again, we don't pay for advertising. A lot of our work is done over word of mouth and through our social networks. But let me give you some statistics. In 2017, so our first calendar year, the first full calendar year of service, we shared over 3,642 hampers. We had over almost 11,000 engagements with clients coming through the door over the course of a year. And as a very conservative figure, we think we provided 20,000 meals just from this outreach alone. Okay, a year on, and in 2018, we distributed just over 5,000 hampers, had over 15,000 engagements, and over 30,000 meals provided, which brings us to this year, and we've got some projections. We think we're going to distribute 7,000 hampers and over 42,000 meals, which for a tiny, tiny organization run by volunteers, upheld by donations, but blessed by Jesus, it's incredible. This little church in Forestfield, in the backwaters of Western Australia, in the backwaters of Perth, it's not fashionable. People don't just roll into Forestfield. I love it here. I was like, Forestfield? Yeah, of course I'll move to Forestfield. 42,000 meals in 2019. 42,000 meals. Okay, 7,000 hampers. That's an incredible amount of food, an incredible amount of generosity. It's making a big, big difference in our community. Okay? So I just wanted to jump into the Bible at this stage. And I wanted to open up at Luke 9, verse 12. And it's a well-known Bible story, okay? You probably have heard it before. It's the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, okay? This is one of those stories in the Bible that is in all four of the Gospels. You can find it in all four. Okay, there's accounts of this miracle. And for those of you that have read it, I hope you'd acknowledge that it's a pretty incredible, amazing story. But there are two elements to this story that I want to place particular focus on this morning. Okay, and we're going to read it. If you don't know it, it's okay. We're going to read it in a moment. But I want to pay particular focus to two elements this morning. Okay, one of the elements is a problem, so look out. I'm going to tell you the story. Some of you already know it. There's going to be a problem in there. See if you can find it. And there's going to be a boy in there. See if you can track him down. So, Luke 9:12, it says, late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowds away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we're in a remote place here. And Jesus replied to them, you give them something to eat. I think I put emphasis on the way Jesus said that. He maybe has said it a little bit nicer. Maybe you give them something to eat. I kind of think he might have just turned around and gone, you lot, man, you give them something to eat. So I can only assume that the disciples maybe looked to one another and said, we got a problem. We got a problem here, guys. Okay, that's just my assumption on the situation here. See, the disciples have been quite thoughtful, okay? They've assessed the situation that they think is likely to unfold. There's a huge amount of people in this remote place, and it's getting late, and they got no food and no shelter, and I think they make a reasonable synopsis of the situation in saying, we better send them on their way, otherwise there's going to be a problem. That's fair. I think that's fair. But who knows that when we ourselves, just like the disciples, see problems, we sometimes want to put distance between it and any action on our part. You know, those problems that look kind of a bit too big for us to get involved in. You know, maybe those problems that are a bit big, like feeding the hungry in our community. Maybe those problems that are just a bit kind of too tricky, too messy, too inconvenient, too far out of our comfort zone, too much hard work for us to navigate. You know, maybe like 5,000 hungry people in a remote place. But Jesus was setting a great example for us here. He didn't want us to just leave the problem. He didn't want the disciples to be like, okay, you know what, we had to think about it and we made this decision and let's send them away and it ain't our problem no more. You see, Jesus didn't want us to palm that problem off. He didn't want the disciples to palm that problem off. He didn't want them to just pass it over to him. Jesus, you take our problem. You see, he told the disciples that they would feed the people. How often is it a case when a problem comes our way that Jesus wants us involved as his vessel to work in a problem? You see, that brings me on to my second focus point. And for this one, I want to just jump across to John's account of the story. So now in John 6, verses 7 and 13, it says this. This is on the back of Jesus saying, "You feed them." All right, so Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Nice one, Philip. Another of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. He's like, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Andrew, he's like doing the maths on this, trying to work it out. How are we going to make this work? And Jesus says, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. And this is not including the women and the children. So we can happily kind of consider that there were a lot more than 5,000 people in this place. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. You see, something often overlooked when we read this scripture is that there was a catalyst for what was about to take place. We think it's a great story, right? Jesus feeds 5,000 people, awesome. But there was this boy. And I don't know where this boy came from. I don't know what his story was. There's no other information about the boy in the Bible story. I don't know. Maybe his mum packed his bag for the day here. Just slipped me a few loaves and a few fish. Maybe he had gone out and thought, man, we're going to somewhere remote. Maybe he was that thoughtful kind of G that just, he packed his own bag. He's like, yeah, I got this. I'm not going to go hungry. We don't know. And we also don't know what the interaction between Andrew and the boy was. Like, did the boy kind of go, "Oh, hey, you know what? I can sort this problem out. I got some loaves and some fish. Here, Andrew, you take it. We're all sorted now. We're all good." I don't know. I don't know if Andrew wrestled the fish and the bread off the boy. Like, Andrew's standing there, "Hey, boy, we got to feed all these people. Give me your bread. Give me a fish." And he's like holding him down. He's grabbed it. "All right, out of the way, boy. Done." We don't know how the bread and the fish came to be with the boy. We don't know anything about the boy. We don't know who packed it for him, where it came from. We're not told who, we're not told how or why he had 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish with him. What we do know is that Andrew took one look at the bread and the fish that the boy had, and Andrew himself went, how far is this going to go? This is futile, maybe. Who knows that sometimes others will doubt what God has provided into your hand? Who knows that others will look at what you've got in your hand and go, Jesus can't do nothing with that. We can't do nothing with that. See, sometimes we forget that power, that great power that Jesus has. Sometimes we don't even need someone else to sow a seed of doubt. Sometimes we're looking into our own hand. I got this. Maybe the boy was looking at into his own hand and going, I got this. And this guy thinks maybe it'll go like some distance. Here you go, Andrew, you take that. Sometimes we look into our own hand and we think, what could I possibly do with this? You see, isn't it easy for us to forget who Jesus is and what he can empower us to do? Jesus wants to work through us and with us, not instead of us. That's why he said, you feed them. He wants us to work with him. And just at this point, I want to bring Ken Donaldson up to the stage. So Ken, come please. He's a current member of our HCCO team. And I want you to just hear how Jesus has used him in a multitude of different situations at HCCO. So come on up, Ken.
Hey, brother. Hello.
So, Ken, we've seen some incredible things at HCCO, and you've worked across the board. I've seen you in the kitchen, in the pantry, loading into the cool room, taking off deliveries, and also you're in our pastoral care rooms. And we often talk about food when it comes to HCCO, but it goes a long, long way beyond that. So, can you tell us about some of the instances that we've experienced with our clients? And I know there was a situation with a client that needed some housing.
Before I do that, am I on?
You're on.
Oh, right. Okay. Before I do that, I'm a little bit nervous today. And I'm not nervous necessarily because I'm up here. This is the first time in my life that I've ever come to church in a T-shirt. Ever.
Ken?
I'm conservative.
You make these T-shirts look so good, man. Like, so good, so good.
Well, anyway, I put the T-shirt on and my wife saw it and she said, take it off. I said, oh, you mean I don't have to wear it? She said, no, it needs ironing. Now, my wife's not too well at the moment, so I knew I had to iron it. Not only did I have to wear it, but I had to iron it. Sometimes the Lord sort of gets to you in a way that you don't expect. I said, Lord, I'll iron the T-shirt, and I'll wear it because somebody told me I had to.
You look great in it. All you guys
so
look
I've been
great.
Obedient to the Lord. So he's going to bless me for that, isn't he? Okay, a couple of stories. A couple came one fortnight, and we always go into the counselling room. They sat down, and only a very young couple. I mean, very young to me. And they had no work. So they ran out of money. They needed food. So they asked me if I would pray for them for work. I said, okay, that's part of what we do. You want me to pray, I'll pray. So I prayed for them for a job. 2 weeks later, I saw the same couple in the room out there. And when I called the name that was on the form, another couple stood up, but this couple came with them. And they came into the counseling room and sat down. And the couple that I knew said, Ken, we haven't come here for a food parcel today. We've come here because a fortnight ago you prayed for us to get a job, and we've got one. So what we have done, we have asked this couple, who are friends of ours, to come today to get a parcel so you can pray for them to get a job. I said, okay, I'll pray for you. Now, the interesting thing is, we have never seen those couples again. So I can only believe, I don't assume, but I believe that God has given that couple also a job so they didn't have to come anymore to get food. So God is good. Now, the second story concerns three people. A lady who is a really strong Christian, her son who is a believer but hasn't asked Jesus into his life yet, and another guy who is a friend who lives with them who is very sceptical. Anyway, this couple lived at Byford, and they lived in a house that was falling down around them. When it rained, the roof leaked. She had health problems because of the conditions of the house, and the landlord refused to do anything. So they said, Ken, we desperately need a house. And would you pray? I said, yeah, let's all pray. And we'll pray. And the lady who was a Christian was very keen to be involved in that. And so we prayed for them to get a house. They came back a fortnight later and no house. And I said, ooh, this is getting pretty desperate, isn't it? They said, oh, yeah, look, we need to get out of this house. It's really, really, really bad. I said, okay, let's pray. And before I prayed, I said, I believe that when you come back in 2 weeks' time, you're going to have a house. And then I said to myself, I don't believe I just said that. But I said it. So on the outside, I was calm as a cucumber, but inside, I was panicking like you don't know what. But I prayed, God, they need a house. Please give them a house. Now, I was in a panic for about 4 or 5 days after that day. And I was praying every day, and I was praying desperately, I tell you, because God's name is on the line here, because I said it. And I hope God didn't get a hold of that against me, you know. So anyway, but as it got closer to the fortnight that they were to come back, a real peace came over me. And when they walked in the room and came down for the counselling, I said, you've got a house, haven't you? And they said, yes. I could see it on their faces. And they had a house. So the third story is very different. They're very practical needs. You see, when they come for food, but these people come, there's injustice. There's physical suffering. There's families breaking down. There's financial stress. So when they come into that counselling room, they begin to talk, and they share all these things. This lady came in one day, very young lady, very attractive, had gone through a terrible separation. She had the children to look after, but she was a very kind, generous woman. And I said to her, you believe in God? She said, I believe in something. I said, something. She said, yeah. I said, how do you react with this something? She said, well, I do pray, and I've actually believe I've had answers to my prayer. I said, okay, so something has answered your prayers. Okay. Anyway, out in the car park, there was a guy sitting in a car, and he had come with her, and she'd arranged for the ladies to get a parcel of food for him because he was in such a mental stress state that he couldn't bear to be in the company of people. And so he's out in the car, and she said, I brought my friend. She said, look, I want you to pray for me, but I also want you to pray for my friend. I said, okay, we'll pray. We'll pray. But look, I want to tell you now, I'm not praying to a something. I'm praying to a someone, a person who knows everything, who loves you. And he sent his son Jesus so you could really get to know who he is. And she was just sort of looking at me very quietly, and she said, okay. And then I prayed. I prayed for her, and I prayed for the man out in the car park who I didn't know. When I opened my eyes, she was streaming with tears. Tears were pouring down her face. I said, what's up? She said, "You prayed exactly as that man is, my friend. And you prayed exactly what my friend needs." And I looked at her and I said, "Then it wasn't a someone. I mean, it wasn't a something. It was a someone. God, who loves you, and loves your friend, gave me those words. That's not my prayer. That didn't come from me. That came from the God who wants to know you." And that lady's on a journey. And when she comes back, I believe she's going to give her life to the Lord. And she's going to go home with a food parcel and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. So we just do food, right? Yeah? It's just food. That's all they get when they come to HCCO. No, it's just so, so, so much further than that. So much richer than that. That they meet Jesus and they get even more of their practical needs met. Okay, and that's just some of the instances that Ken has been in. You can imagine that multiplied throughout our team in incredible different ways. I want to turn from stories through HCCO in our community to actually something a little bit more personal now. So if I can ask Nissa Leaney to come up. And Nissa's going to share with you a personal testimony. And she actually asked, let it be said, she asked to share this morning. So church, I just want to give Nissa some time and be blessed by her.
Hello. When Craig talked about HCCO Sunday, and if anyone wanted to share something, straight away I just felt sick inside and I wanted to run and hide. I was like, "My God, are you serious?" Because I definitely don't want to speak. But I've been learning, no matter how scary something is, to just obey God because he's doing it for my benefit. But still, getting up on this stage to speak today is the scariest thing I've ever done. So have patience and bear with me. For those who don't know me, my name's Nissa, and I'm part of the Thursday team at HCCO. And Craig's talked about HCCO now, what we do, where we provide food parcels and just chat with people in need. But the work we do doesn't just impact them, it impacts all of us. I just started coming regularly to Hillside, and then one Sunday I'll never forget. Someone got up on stage and was talking about how they needed volunteers. And straight away, I heard God tell me, "Nissa, you need to sign up for that." Now, I hate change. I have a fear of the unknown. And I need to be pushed into trying anything new. But God's voice was just so clear, I couldn't really argue. So after church, I told Mum that I wanted to volunteer. And she went and she signed me up because I was too shy to do it myself. I started that Thursday, and little did I know how much my life was going to change. And in case I didn't make it clear, I was painfully shy. On my first shift, my mum came in and talked to the team for me and hung around until I was settled in. And I was 24. The shift starts with a meeting, devotion, and prayer time. Then we start preparing for the day, and there's different roles to be done. Someone packs the dry goods in the pantry, like rice and pasta. People in the kitchen pack things for the fridge and freezer and hand them off to the clients. We have our greeters and also our pastoral care team. Now, I started off in the pantry packing the dry goods and absolutely loved it because I was in a room away from people, by myself mostly, and so I felt very comfortable. Then after a while, I slowly started helping out in the kitchen when it got busy. Packing bags, just smiling at the clients because I was too shy to talk still, and just getting to know the other team members. And I discovered that, hey, I love talking. I love being around people. And so I moved into a kitchen role. Pretty soon, I just wanted to be everywhere. I wanted to do everything because I enjoyed it. I was so full of energy and just filled with joy. I'm still pretty shy, but on Thursdays, I just come alive now. It's always the highlight of my week, and I wish every day was a Thursday. And now, even in our morning meetings, instead of sitting there quiet as a mouse, while I have yet to pray aloud, I did start doing devotions this year, and public speaking is my biggest fear. So that in itself was definitely a miracle. The team members also encourage me and build me up, and I like to say smash it. So when we have a lot of product to move, I like to say, oh, yep, smash out the lettuce, smash out the oranges. And I just get teased for saying smash it. And it's fantastic because we're like a little family and we just have fun. And it's been amazing not only to see myself grow and to come alive, but to have others notice the change in me too. I'm just so thankful to God for giving me that push and using HCCO and the people there because he knew what he was doing. I'm rediscovering who I am. I'm building confidence and learning other life skills. And it's been an amazing journey, which isn't over yet. And I'm just so excited to see what God has in store for me next. And I just wanted to encourage everyone, like even the smallest things you do can have such a big impact. And God can change your life with the most simplest of methods. And he can use you even if you can't see it. So never feel like you're not ready, because you are.
Awesome. She did smash it. She did smash it. Well done, Niss. Well done. Ben, can I ask you to come back up, please? And church, what more can I say? Niss has really summed it up brilliantly. Those small things in our lives, those things that we think, oh, what could be of use in this? How could I be of service to the Lord? He takes it. He magnifies it, he amplifies it, and it doesn't just bless others, but this is a walking, talking, public speaking testimony of the work that happens in us when we respond, when we take the opportunity to co-work with the Lord. You see, we get this great chance to bless and encourage many, and I've spoken about it, and Ken and Niss have spoken about it in an HCCO context today. But I just want to encourage all of you to acknowledge what Jesus has placed in your hand today. And I think, you know, the altar call at the start was pretty much where I wanted to end, because if you've been hurt or told that, hey, you know what, you can't do nothing, man. You know, what could you ever achieve? How far could you ever go? What good is that bread and fish to anyone else? I just feel there's restoration. I feel there's healing available to you in this place. That God can use. Look, he uses me. I don't even speak properly. I do. You lot don't speak properly. He wants to work with us. He wants to work through us, not instead of us. And look, as it's an HCCO focus, I want to tell you, if you're interested in serving with HCCO in any capacity, please come and have a chat to myself or Pastor Kerry. Or any of the team in the green t-shirts today. You know, we'd love to have a chat with you and potentially get you on team with us. You know, there's a great, great need. And, you know, whether you can serve or whether you can donate, you know, we're so thankful for the donations we receive. Whether you can financially assist, the need is great. And it's not getting smaller. So if God has placed that on your heart today, I just encourage you to go with his prompting. You will bless many, many people. And you know, as Niss has mentioned, you know, that blessing is not a one-way thing. You know, it comes back upon us as well in this incredible way that is never the motivation for us. But God just can't help himself. He wants to bless his people as they pour out. Ken and Niss are just two of this huge team within this congregation that are putting to use what God has entrusted to them, not for their own glory, but for His glory. And I just wonder, church, what are your loaves? What are your fish? What has God placed in your hand? And how will you use them? Because I hope today, if anyone's spoken down about your gift, your talent, or what God has placed in your hand, as small as it might be, I just believe this is the day that He reignites a fire. He stirs something up in your soul. He shows you. He's speaking to you today, right now. He's saying, I've given you that. And with me, with Jesus, it can go so, so much further. So the haters are always going to hate. But Jesus is so much more powerful. So much more powerful. And you need to know that this morning. With your little church, with your little, He can do so very, very much. And He wants to do it again and again and again and again and again. And you've heard some stories from HCCO this morning, but He wants to do it in your context, whether that be HCCO, whether that be out in your workplace, in your community, in your school, in your university, where you live, in your neighborhood. He wants to do it again, and He will take your little and He will amplify it. So church, we're going to close, but before we do, Ness, will you pray? All right.
Yeah, we're going to bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are wonderful, that you provide and you take care of us and just love us no matter what, that you don't give us more than we can handle and that you are just always there to lean on. Our motto here is committed to transformation in Jesus' name. So Lord, I ask today that we kickstart that transformation. Show people their purpose, their potential. I pray for breakthrough. There's no better time than right now. If you have doubts, feel unworthy, or like God can't use you, He can. Just open your heart and reach out to Him, because He has plans for you and He's waiting to use you for His glory. Because it's not about us, it's about Him. We serve the God of the impossible. Now is the time to step out of our comfort zones. So Lord, I ask that this week you provide an opportunity to rise up for everyone here, where they have to take that step so that you can use them in ways they didn't know were possible. We grow and reach new levels with you when we step outside of our comfort zones. Please, Lord, encourage everyone here. Fill them with joy and excitement. Let them leave here today, eagerly waiting to be used by you. Please, Lord, open the doors, rekindle a flame of passion, set us on fire for you, God. And again, just thank you. We have nothing to be afraid of. You provide strength, and all we have to do is obey, and you do the rest. All glory to you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Why don't we stand, church?